Amen. Appreciate what we have heard. And get my glasses on here. Appreciate what Brother Thomas has brought before us this morning. I pray that you laid it to heart, and I fully intend to continue in that same line of thinking. I invite you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Well, preacher, that's Old Testament. We need New Testament, don't we? Well, Jesus came to fulfill the law, but all that God gave in his word is truth. And there's some that have even called the book of Deuteronomy the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Don't you enjoy reading Proverbs? Those principles that, not the Old Testament book of Proverbs, the Old Testament book of James, okay? One of the scriptures that Brother Thomas referred to was James, how we're to be doers and not hearers only. Well, Deuteronomy is full, just full of admonition to take heed to what the Lord has told us, right? Well, chapter 8 to me is just kind of like the mother load of a lot of different principles that would do us today very well to remember. God's word is like that, but especially today. I'm going to just give you a little bit of this chapter admonishes us to observe all that God has commanded us. All right, so let's read verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. All right, that's what we've heard already, isn't it? That ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. All right, so Deuteronomy is the second reading of the law. There was a time when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them up to Kadesh Barnea. They were allowed to go in and spy out the land of Canaan, and they came back with every one of the spies said it's a good land, just like God said it was. But then they added their opinion. Instead of giving the good testimony and leaving it at that, they gave their opinion, but there's giants over in the land and we're not able to take it. And the people began to wail and complain, and God was sorely provoked. Listen, he had delivered them with a mighty arm out of Egypt. He had parted the Red Sea and allowed them to go across dry land. He had rained down manna to feed them. He opened up rocks to give them water. And then now they're complaining because there's some giants in the land. He never told them to go over there and see if you can take it. He told them to go over and see that it's the good land that he said it was. Now, put that in our day. Oh, we've got so many problems that we face in our day. It just hinders us from serving the Lord. Is that true? No. God is the same God. He has the same power. He has the same love. If anything, with him sending his son who suffered and died to redeem us from our sins, when we have the fullness of the gospel that's preached to us, if anything, it ought to have caused us to have more zeal and determination to please the Lord, knowing all the good things that he's done for us. Is that right? So we should be letting our light shine brightly. We should be doing the things that God would have us to do to bring glory to his name because of all of his goodness that's been bestowed upon us. And that is the message of chapter 8, even though it's Old Testament scriptures. All right? So as we go through this chapter, and I hope I'll be able to go through the whole chapter. As we go through it, listen to what God is saying to them But in principle, listen to how he is blessing us today. And the blessings that we have today in the gospel kingdom. In Canaan, some people want to say, well, Canaan was a type of heaven. Well, no, not really. We got some songs in our songbook that speaks about Canaan as being the land of, as being heaven. But I'm telling you something, Canaan was a better type of the church than it is heaven. Because there's still battles for us to face here. There's still hills and valleys. There's still our need for the Lord's help and our need to observe all that God has commanded us. All right? And so as we don't ever read the book of Deuteronomy and think it doesn't apply to us today. I get lots of joy and comfort out of reading the book of Deuteronomy. Okay? And all the others as well. But particularly this. So Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Question. Has there any man ever been able to keep all the commandments? In the book of Hebrews, Moses, it says of Moses that he was faithful in all his house. And I tell you, Moses was a mighty servant of the Lord. But he made some mistakes. As a matter of fact, later in his life, there came a time when he tried to claim some credit for giving them that water in the wilderness. He said, instead of just speaking to the rock like God told him to, so that the water could gush out, he said, must we fetch water from this rock? And then he smote it. Do you know what? Later we were told that that's why Moses was not allowed to go into the land of Canaan. Because he did not sanctify the Lord God before the children of Israel. He tried to claim a little credit for himself. Now I don't think he planned that. I think just the weakness of the flesh popped out. Right? Just like it does with us. But listen, I don't care how long you've been on this journey. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. That tells me we need to be careful not to try to claim any credit. But always give God the glory. All right? So right off the bat here, we understand. Now, Moses was a good, faithful servant, but he had some mistakes. He was just a man. All right? How about David? Did David always keep God's commandments? Now, I'm not making excuses here. I'm just telling you facts. Did David always keep God's commandments? No. He made some grievous errors. But yet the Old Testament and the New Testament speaks of David as a man after God's own heart. How about Daniel? Daniel was a wonderful brother. The angel that came to Daniel said, thou art greatly beloved. I'll tell you something. You read Daniel chapter 9 and you'll find out that when he prayed and he was confessing the sins of Israel before God, and he included himself in it. He knew he wasn't perfect. The point is, when you understand Scripture, no one is going to be able to keep all the commandments of God. I think Brother Thomas made mention of the fact we can't save ourselves. We need God. And what God provided for us that we needed above all else was to save us from our sins. And so our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, bless your hearts, as we think about, we need the Lord every day we live. We rejoice in the fact that he saved us from our sins, but we need him every day for deliverance, for help, for strength, for wisdom, for whatever we need every day. The Lord has it, and he can give it, and he's pleased to give it to us. But we need to be asking, we need to be seeking, we need to be knocking. And I'm thankful. I am very thankful that his blessings and grace to us is not limited to what we ask. Aren't you? Aren't you thankful that he gives you more than what you've asked for? Because I don't have the sense to know everything I need to ask for or when to ask for it. God does. And he's merciful, kind, and gracious. All right, so we're admonished in verse 1. I got to pick up the pace here, don't I? We're admonished in verse 1 to keep all the commandments of God, to observe and to do it. There's so much that we know that we're not doing. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just exhorting you as your pastor. I spend a lot of time in prayer about what to preach. At one time I thought about preaching on, so many people talking about pray for Israel, pray for Israel. Well, we need to talk about that. The Israel now is not the Israel of the Old Testament. All right, so maybe you pray for me. Maybe next Sunday we'll talk about that. All right, but for right now, it is so needful. I don't remember in my lifetime, I don't know of a time when it's so much more important for God's people to let your light shine for the glory of God. We need to be doing that more than we are, more than we have, okay? And even if you feel like now you've been doing it as much as you need to, I'll point you to the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul was commending that church for the love that they had one to another. But then he exhorted them to do it even more. And so I'm on safe ground that even when we are letting our light shine, to continue to encourage that we let our light shine more. Bless your hearts. We need to be giving God the glory. There's so much confusion. There's so much negativity in the world today. We need to be living these things to show the world the love of God. Show it to one another. Show it to God that he would get the glory. All right? Verse 2. Well, let me back up here. Verse 1. There are several things. He gave us the purpose for this chapter. Not only to observe to do all that he's commanded, but he tells us why it would be good for us, why it would be to our advantage for us to do that. He says, that ye may live. And he's not talking about just your heart pumping. He's talking about having a good life. We want to live a good life. We want to live a life where we're loving God and loving one another and enjoying the blessings of this life. We want to live a good life. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He gave us life when he died for our sins. But bless your hearts, eternal life. He secured that. But then he would also have us to walk in his ways so that we could enjoy the life that we have. All right? So he says, that ye may live and multiply. I think God would be, from the word of God, we have reason to believe that God would be pleased for us to multiply and not be diminished. That's what he told his children. He told Jeremiah to write a letter to the captives that had been carried away into Babylon. He said, go ahead and live your life and enjoy those things. Pray for the peace of the city and be increased and not diminished. All right? God would have us to grow. God would have us to enjoy life. But we're not going to have it if we're seeking our own desires. It's going to be found in worshiping and walking in ways that's pleasing to the Lord and enjoying fellowship with him. And then, like Matthew chapter 6 said, then shall all these things be added unto you. All right? So we want to live a good life. All right? That you may go in and possess the land. That also applies to us. We're not going into the land of Canaan, but we have the kingdom of God today. And Paul says, Paul admonished Timothy, lay hold on eternal life. God has given it to us, right? Let's lay hold upon it. Let's possess it. If we're always just doing things of this world and chasing after the things of this world, we're not laying hold upon eternal life. But when we're seeking to do that which is pleasing to the Lord, then he blesses our life. And we can enjoy the kingdom that he's given us while we go about doing our duties that we have to do in this life. All right? So it's all perfectly applicable to us today, even though it's Old Testament teaching. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember. Now, this is a second generation. The first generation, I got off on a off track a while ago, when they provoked the Lord at Kadesh Barnea, then he caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until those older ones died, because they're the ones that provoked the Lord. They died, and those children, those under the age of 20. You know, I don't think the Bible teaches an age of accountability, but if it does, it'd be 20 and not 12. All right? Those under the age of 20 were then the ones who grew up during those 40 years and went into the land of Canaan to possess it. The others had to die wandering in the wilderness, away from what God promised they could enjoy. Isn't that sad? How many of God's people today are away from the things that God has promised them if they lived a good and godly life and enjoyed the blessings of this kingdom that we have right now? Okay? All right, so it's important then that we follow and do all that he's commanded. All right? And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. And to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. God knew what was in their hearts. But what he did allowed them to know what was in their hearts and allowed others to know what was in their hearts. Okay? And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. All right? They were in the wilderness. Well, they didn't have time to plant gardens and all those kinds of things. What did God do? Yeah, they got hungry, but what did God do for them? He rained down manna from heaven. What is it? One of the Psalms, maybe 78 or 103 or something, said that men did eat angels' food. God rained down manna from heaven to feed his people when they were hungry. He waited until they were hungry to provide for them. All right? All right, let's keep going. He humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Why didn't they know? Because this had never happened before. Okay? As a matter of fact, the word manna, when they saw it, they said that's what they called it, manna. The reason they said that was because what that means is, what is it? They'd never seen that before. God never done that before. All right? So he gave them manna when they were hungry. And Moses is telling them, you remember this. Neither did thy fathers know that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. All right? Here's another reason why I say it's just as applicable to us today as then. What he taught them back then was man doesn't live by bread alone. Man doesn't live by just your natural sustenance here in this life. We need the word of God to guide us in the right way so that we can really live, okay? So that we can enjoy life, all right? So he says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Do you hear what he said? Their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. Anybody got anything in your closet for 40 years old? That's possible. It's possible. You might have a Cub Scout uniform or something like that, you know. But what I'm saying is, this was miraculous. God exercised his power for the benefit of his children who were in need. He caused them to be wandering in the wilderness, so he provided. Listen, if you're following the Lord, And if you're in a situation because you're following the Lord, guess what? He will provide for you today. Guaranteed. I got a whole Bible to prove it. God will provide because he loves us. And even when they murmured and complained, the manna continued to fall. You let that sink in. God is so good that he provides for us even if we're not doing exactly what we should. Now he doesn't, and he's going to get in just very quickly here. He's going to get into the fact he doesn't just lavish things upon us and lavish things upon us and lavish things upon us because he's so good. No, he does that. He is good. But he also chastens us when we're out of the way. He disciplines us. And if we need some help understanding that, sometimes we get a spanking from the Lord. How about that? He knows what's best. He knows what's right. And he does what's right. He does what's best. And sometimes it's not always blessing you with something else. Sometimes it's chastening us in our waywardness. So we need to remember that because God is holy, holy, holy. How holy is God? How holy is he? You know, if I were to say those holy, holy, holies like it happened in the Bible, the post of this building would shake. You understand that? When those seraphim said, holy, 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 the building shook. That's the word of God expressing to us how holy he is and how far from it we are. And we need to understand that. And this holy, holy, holy God will do what's right. And if it's necessary to chasten us in our disobedience, he will do it. He will. Every time, because he's holy, 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 and not a respecter of persons. I just felt the need to express that. You know, we need to realize when that servant talked about how holy God is, we need to realize how unholy we are. I'm talking about the old man. I'm talking about the flesh nature. You know, there is a new man in us when we're born of the Spirit of God. His seed remains in us and it cannot sin. But this old flesh keeps popping out. So we've got both natures and we have to contend with it. They're contrary the one to the other. All right, like in the Galatian letter that Brother Thomas was reading from. All right. So their raiment, their clothing, nor their shoes gave out. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, here it is, even though he's so good, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. That's in perfect harmony with Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, where the Lord is given instruction to the church at Laodicea, of the seven churches of Asia. And he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Right? All right, so you could expect it. If we're out of the way, he's doing it out of love for us to get us back into the right way so that we can honor him. It's for our good. Isn't it better that we honor the Lord than to dishonor him? Isn't it better for our life and for our families that we walk in a way that's pleasing to the Lord so that we can be blessed and our families can be blessed and our church can be blessed and we can just receive blessing upon blessing in walking in ways that's pleasing to him, in observing to do all these commanded, all right? But when we get out of the way, you can rest assured he's going to chasten us, discipline us if this necessary. And he knows what's right and he knows what's necessary, okay? Verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. Why did he say a land of oil, olive? Because the olive trees was already there. They were already bearing. They just had to pick. They didn't have to plant the tree. They didn't have to do all of those things to start enjoying some of those fruits. God was sending them into a land that already had it. It had it in abundance. And isn't that a type of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? He has put everything we need in the church. We just need to take heed to it and abide by it and do that which is pleasing to him, and he'll bless us. We'll be blessed and blessed. All right? Okay, so he's beginning to tell them about the good land that it is. Verse 9, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. You know, you listen to the news today, and they keep telling us there's going to be food shortages. And I think they're giving us a clue about some things that's coming. The Lord says to his people, hey, I'm going to give you a land that's without scarceness. You could eat bread without scarceness, all right? Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. What he says, he's giving them, and they've not gone into the land of Canaan yet. He's telling this second generation what he's provided for them. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what we'll be facing in this country, but I know this. If we're looking to the Lord, if we're serving the Lord, if that is our habit already, you know, don't wait until things get scarce to start finding the Lord. Go ahead and serve him now. Go ahead and do that now. All right? Serve the Lord. I just believe the Lord will take care of us. When God's people were sent down to Egypt, it could have been pretty scarce for them. You know, there's a lot of desert over there. But what did God provide for them? God provided for them the land of Goshen. There was plenty of grazing for their sheep in Egypt. Not much of that around, but God provided it for his people. When they went into the land of Canaan, it was a land that we were describing here. It was a land of abundance. Now, there were people already there, and to some extent, God drove those people out. And there were other times when, in other writings, in Moses' writings, it said the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So there came a time when God was pleased to drive those people out. And what they were driven from, God's people was able to go in and inherit and enjoy the blessings of it. I'm telling you that if we're facing hard times in this nation, God can take care of us. God can provide for us. But listen, it's not a matter of sitting around with your arms folded waiting for it to happen. Let's serve him now. Let's give him glory now. All right? We'll enjoy life. I don't know when these things, it may be a long time before this happens, if they ever happen. I'm just telling you, that's what you could hear in the news, but this is what you can hear in the good news. That God is able, and he loves us, and he will take care of his people. Does that mean we won't ever have to suffer anything? No. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. No matter what we have to face in this life, we are safe in the blood of Jesus. Heaven will be our home. Nothing can separate us from it. And so let's serve the Lord with gladness. Let's enjoy the blessings we have now, all right? Now, he's told us all these things of the good things of the land. But then he begins to warn God's people. Well, those old stiff-necked and rebellious Israelites, God needed to warn them on a regular basis, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Just like us. We need to be warned on a regular basis. So does this apply to us? Absolutely. All right, so listen to what he said. after he pointed out all the good things that God was going to bless them with, he says, when thou hast, verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Do you know what our human tendency is? Do you know the great temptation we face when things are going good? When you've got everything that you need? When you don't have any problems? When you got money in the bank? What happens? We tend to get lazy in our service to God. We tend to forget the Lord. And he's going to address this mightily in the rest of this chapter. All right? So we need to remember the Lord. We in the good times, we need to praise and give thanksgiving to our God for all the good things that he provides for us. And not be like that over in Luke chapter 12, the rich fool whose fields brought forth plentifully, and he didn't have room in his barns to store it, and so he said, what shall I do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. I'll say, soul, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up in store for many years. I'm going to go on vacation. What did the Lord tell him? Thou fool. This night shall thy soul be required of thee. And what and whose shall all these things be? That's what the Lord told him. That's not what the preacher warned him about. That's what the Lord told him. All right? And then he gave us this sobering comment after he gave that parable. He said, and so is everyone that is not rich toward God. If we don't remember to thank the Lord for the blessings that we have, it can be taken away from us. Then whose shall it be? Now that's the Lord's word, both Old and New Testament. All right? So he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord. He says in verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. See, that's the warning. When things are smooth sailing, that's the tendency. That's the danger. That's the peril we face. All right? Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Wasn't that a tremendous deliverance? I mean, they had terrible bondage. They didn't have a day off. They had to, you know, it got to the point where instead of the Egyptians providing straw for them to use to make brick, they had to go out and get the straw themselves when they weren't laboring for the Egyptians. Terrible bondage every day. But he warns them. He says, look, I delivered you from that. You remember that. See, there's always something to thank the Lord for. Always. Right? Every day we've got plenty for which we can thank the Lord. All right. then after he tells them about not to forget him, he tells them some more reasons of his goodness and his provisions that he had provided for them. He says, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents. Some of the place through which they traveled, there were serpents that if they bit them, they would die. All right. How do you know that, preacher? Because I read the Bible. You go back to Numbers 21, and you'll find a time when God's people murmured and complained. But let me, I know time's getting away, but let me go back there. Numbers 21. Listen to what provoked the Lord on that occasion. I'm in Numbers 21, I'm beginning in verse 4. They journeyed from Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They're about to start murmuring and complaining, right? And the people spake against God, whoa, and against Moses, saying this, "Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread." Oh, really? Didn't God furnish them bread? Neither is there any water. Oh, really? God had opened up the rock to give them water, right? They may not have had any water where they were, but they knew what God had done before. "And our soul loatheth this light bread." Oh, now we get to it. This light bread happened to be that manna that so graciously fell every day and fed their souls. It was what was sustaining them in the wilderness. But they got to the point where they loathed it. They hated it. "I want something better than this." You know, contentment is something that God tells us is very high on the list as far as being able to have peace and happiness in this life. If you're already always discontent about things and you always got to have something better and you got to have the best and you got to have this and you got to have... That's where they were. They didn't like what God was providing. They were tired of that. They wanted something more. Don't you like the grocery stores that have such a huge selection that you'll never get all of it, but you want it there. All right? "Our soul loatheth this light bread." I'm going to tell you something. Everything that God provides for you is by grace. That's what Brother Thomas was telling us. It's by the grace of God. Can we not be thankful to God for His grace? Can we not be thankful to God for His provisions? Can we not be thanking and praising Him every day we live for all that He's done for us? That's what he's telling us in this chapter. Those people needed to hear it, and we need to hear it today. Okay? All right. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people." Now, the fiery serpents were already there. But it wasn't until they provoked the Lord that the fiery serpents bit them. But when they started complaining and all of this that I just read to you, when they started doing all that, the fiery serpents began to bite the people and many of the people died. What's the principle? When we're walking in the ways of pleasing the Lord will protect us. The Lord will keep those things out of our lives. Now, I'm not saying you won't have any problems. We will. But there's a measure in which God will build a hedge about us and keep us from many things. But when they started complaining and when they started being unthankful for the things that God was providing for them, God allowed those fiery serpents. He actually sent them among the people and bit them, and many of them died. Whew. I think we need to be taking heed to that, don't you? All right. "Therefore the people came to Moses." Okay, so that's when the fiery serpents began to bite the people and many people were dying, then they turned back to the Lord. Well, the sooner we turn back to the Lord when we feel His chastening, the better off we're going to be. All right? So now back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. "Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Okay, when they were thirsty, he provided water, even though there wasn't any water. Okay, it was there, but God opened up the way. I think there's a lesson there, don't you? When we have a great need, the Lord can open up a way. We may not see it. As a matter of fact, it may be invisible to us, and it may not even be something that would materialize other than God opening up the way. And we face things in life that that's where we're at. We need to beg God to help us to open up a way. All right? All right. And then he goes on again, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he may humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. God's chastening, when necessary, is for our good, to bring us back to him. All right, but if they get into that situation of unthankfulness, verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. If we get that attitude, the Lord says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Whatever you have, God gave you the ability to get it, to have it. Now, if you time's gotten away from me, but it might be good to couple this with the teachings out of the book of Haggai. Haggai was telling the people that their way, consider their ways. He said, you've labored much, and you brought your wages home, and you put it into a bag with holes. He said, you looked for much, and lo, you brought in little. And when you brought it in, he said, I did blow upon it. So he said, consider your way. If our ways are not pleasing to the Lord, then we may find that our labors are not as prosperous as they could be. That we might be missing many things that we thought we should have by now. Consider your ways. And so here, he's the admonition to the people is to, it's the Lord that gives you power to get wealth. Remember that. Don't forget it. All right? And it shall be, verse 19, and it shall be, if thou at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods. Did Israel ever do that? Did they ever forget the Lord? Did they ever walk after other gods? Go read the book of Ezekiel. Go read the book of Jeremiah. Go read the book of Isaiah. Every time God had to send prophets to warn his people of their waywardness and their idolatry. Isaiah has a whole lot to say about idolatry. And anything that gets between us and the Lord, anything that hinders us in serving the Lord, is closer to God than we are. So we need to remember that. It could be an idol. It could be something that's hindering us from living the kind of life that brings glory and honor to God. All right? So he's warning them. God's people were carried away into Babylon because of their disobedience, and he sent prophet after prophet. They wouldn't listen. So when there was no remedy, he sent them into Babylon, captivity. They lost the land of Canaan that was so richly blessed and provided so abundantly for them. They lost it. Okay? How about 70 AD? When Jesus came preaching the gospel and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Not too many years after that, he said the day was coming when there shall not be left one stone upon another. Kind of give you an idea of some of the things about Israel. He told them, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That means it has come to an end and there won't be any more of it. That's what God's people got into, in forgetting the Lord and going after other gods. So he said, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Would God do that to his people? Read your Bible. He did do that when they were carried away captive. Now, it was that captivity was 70 years, and they were brought back. Some of them came back. But in 70 AD, Jerusalem was leveled. Not one stone was left upon another. The Romans came in and just destroyed it. But by then, that kingdom had served its purpose. And he said, therefore, the kingdom is taken from you and given unto a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The kingdom was taken from Israel. Okay? We'll have more to say about that later. But he says, if you do these things, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. This is way back in the Bible. This was before they even went into the land of Canaan. And he's saying, he's warning them, if this happens, you'll perish. Verse 20. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish if they do those things. Because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. There is much solemn admonition in that one little chapter that we as God's people today still need to lay to heart. God is still God. We are still prone to waywardness. We need to take heed and stay close to the Lord. That's where our safety is. That's where our joy is. That's where our strength is. That's where our fellowship is. And there's every reason for God's church today to be flourishing and giving forth the light that he's given us in this word. There's every reason for us to be faithful and to do those things pleasing and desire. The thing is, we have to fight against this old flesh. And sometimes we don't fight against this old flesh. Sometimes we just give into it and go along with it. But God will bless us in faithfulness and in observing and doing what he's commanded us to do. And may God help us to lay these things to heart and realize he is just as able today to provide all that we need. He is just as able today with power and love and mercy and grace to provide us all that we need while we face the trials of life and go through them in a way that would be pleasing unto him, that we should give him praise and honor, thanksgiving and glory for who he is, how holy he is, and how good he is to us. Don't forget it. May God bless you, is our prayer.